Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we find ourselves in this time of waiting, and yet we can live as new and different people. People who are bringing into the world, that into our world, the joy that Jesus came to bring. As we are people who are giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, as we actually have the power as followers of Jesus to give life to those who are dead. And yet when we seek to live this way, as John found out, things don't always go well. We have to face difficulty. We have to face pushback. And yet, as we live this way, we begin to experience what Jesus came to bring. A joy that comes from literally following in the way of Jesus. And so we seek to live that way as we wait. We seek to refocus ourselves on what is truly, truly important. And yet in the midst of that, we have our doubts, we have our uncertainties, we have our struggles. And so I think it's important to hear these words again from our gospel reading. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see." Well, I made my annual visit to the eye doctor a few weeks back. And I think probably most of you know how it goes. After sitting in the waiting room for quite a while, you make your way back to the back room for some tests. You know, it's the peripheral vision test with that little light that blinks, and you have to press that little button. Then there's the prescription test, where they make sure that your prescription hasn't changed through the year. And then there's my favorite, that glaucoma test, where they put that little puff of air right in your eye. And you jump back, even though you know it's coming. And after those tests, then they move you into the chair, you know, for those dilation drops, and then the pop quiz: which is clearer, one or two, three or four, A or B, D or E? I don't know. They all look the same to me. And finally, they take that bright light and they look up here. Am I looking in the right place? I don't know. Are you seeing what you're supposed to see? Well, after all of that, thankful to say, everything looks good with my eyes. No glaucoma, no retinal problems, no cataracts yet, no new prescription. And yet, what was so strange, when I walked out of that office that day, I couldn't see. Right? Everything was blurry and everything was bright. I was like doing this as I'm walking out of there. And then my eyes were there, you know, they're as big as saucers. Everything was fuzzy as I walked out of there. Now, I'm sure things seemed a little bit fuzzy for John the Baptizer. This one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," calling us to repentance, pointing us to Jesus. And now he's in prison, wondering if Jesus is really the one, questioning if he should be looking for another. Now, certainly things get fuzzy in our lives, don't they? They get fuzzy as we face times of trouble. And we start to wonder and we start to question. Things get fuzzy up here as we deal with doubts. Is this really it? Or is there something more? Am I missing something here? Things get fuzzy when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we focus inward. And we find ourselves living in fear instead of living by faith. And you see, when we are living a life that is focused on Jesus, we can be people who are actually finding clarity in our lives. As we start to live a life that actually has meaning, both here in this world and even greater meaning. We can find clarity as we live a life that is willing to trust in the promises of God. We can find clarity as we actually live a life that is filled with joy. A life that really makes a difference as we recognize our Savior, a Savior who's in our midst. As we have been given authority and power as followers of Jesus to live a life with a purpose, to live a life with a passion. Look and see, Jesus tells John. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. You want clarity, you want meaning, you want purpose in your life, follow in the way of Jesus, and you have the authority and the power to do those exact same things. To bring that good news to people who are dead and blind and deaf and outcasts. You want purpose and meaning in your life. You have been given that purpose. Because you see, when we follow in the way of Jesus, this one who sacrificed it all, this one who gave it all away, you and I, we can be people who are actually doing a new thing. We can be people who are willing to count the cost as we find our focus. And you see, as people who are following Jesus together, we've been invited into a different way of life, a different way of living. Even when things don't make sense, and even when things get hard, even when we have to wait, and yet we can live as people of hope. We can live as people who know the future, as we live a life that reveals the very heart of our God. We can be those people who are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and really knowing and believing that God will take care of the rest. And once we start to believe this, that we've been called to this kind of life, we can be people who are living with clarity. We can live lives that are really impacting others as we love generously. As we love our neighbors generously. As we love the next generation generously. And let me tell you, as I just saw it this morning, I read the article this morning, the next generation, the millennial generation, does not feel loved. And they're not coming to church. They're walking away from it. They don't feel loved. They haven't heard the message of God's love for them. They've heard about morality and right and wrong, but they haven't heard of God's generous love for them, and so they're walking away. And they're saying, I don't need that, but I need love. but I don't think they're getting it here. You see, as those who have experienced it, really and truly experienced it, and I hope you're hearing that message loud and clear, we can be people who are doing something different. We can be people who are loving our neighbors and the next generation generously. But we may ask, how does it happen? It's easy to talk about, it's harder to do. And that's why we've been in this season of Advent trying to discover why loving generously is more about just loving the people who are like us. It's really about loving all people as we commit ourselves to one another. Living a life that is actually willing to take some risks as we take the focus off of ourselves and as we start living like Jesus lived. Now, we've been, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Donovan family and their journey to what it really means to be loving generously, even when it isn't easy. Those of you who haven't been with us the last few weeks, we've seen how Frank and the family, they're starting to see that all are welcome in God's kingdom. Even those who couldn't earn it, even those who don't deserve it. And they're starting to see that they can be truly blessed when they are willing to give and serve and follow in the way of Jesus. So the question for us this morning is, how will Frank and the family respond when things get blurry in their lives? Let's see if they are willing to see things from a new perspective.
Expectation of security in our community. We live in a gated community. It's gated for a reason.
I'm sorry, but was there something unsafe about a yard sale?
The financial investment that you guys have made down at the soup kitchen is wonderful, and we're all for helping those folks down there find work.
We just don't know if it was a good idea to hire them to work at your yard sale. I mean, did you do any background checks?
They're not our employees, Mark. They're our friends.
We're just all concerned for you. That's all. Listen, were you and Eddie arrested last week for solicitation?
But if you insist on continuing to put our community at risk, we'll be forced to consider probationary status.
Probationary status? Mark, Miriam, you're on board with this? We've been friends since our kids were in diapers.
Frank, none of us expected to come to that. We just want things the way they were. And then everything will be fine.
And by the way, an event of this size has to be approved by the HOA at least a month in advance. We have to confer over things like security, parking, street access.
You come to our Christmas party every year. We host 5 times as many people as will be at this wedding. And you've never once told us that we need to discuss this with the HOA.
I'm sure you won't have trouble finding some place to move it. Otherwise, we're going to have to call the police.
Thomas, is something wrong? Oh, look at you!
Breathtaking.
Thank you.
Thomas, you look so beautiful.
Can you describe it for me?
Thomas, it is bad luck for the groom to see the bride in her gown and blow away.
Is everything okay?
Yeah. It should. Could you give us a second, Dolores? What is it?
It's a 12A.
A 12 what?
It's for the door of the guest house. When we offered you that space, we thought you'd be with us longer. And although we're happy that you have a good reason for moving out, we'll miss you. So as a family, we decided to keep that space available for anyone that might need it in the future. And in your memory, we have decided to christen it Unit 1-2-A.
1-2-A number. Be devoted one to another in love. Talk to one another in showing honor. We thought that we'd make it sort of our unofficial motto.
Thomas and Julia, and to outdoing one another and showing honor.
Cheers.
Cheers.
It's amazing to me what people will try to get away with. Recently, I saw an article examining things that people try to put on their expense accounts. You know, there's the things that you normally do, things like travel costs and food and car rentals and Ubers. But that was not all. In fact, some people didn't seem to think that anything was too outlandish. Not the $500 worth of clothing from Lululemon. I guess you got to be in good shape to work out or to go to work. Nor the visit to the strip club. I don't know if somebody was not thinking real well there. Not even, and this one got me, not even the commute to work on a helicopter. Someone decided they were going to expense that. It's sad that it's come to this, that you really can't trust anyone anymore. Maybe you know that feeling, right? You've been hurt. You've been rejected. You've experienced loss and grief. And as a result, life has become blurry. You know, there's not clarity. There's not meaning. It doesn't seem like there's anywhere or to whom, anyone to whom you can turn. It seems to me like John the Baptizer was feeling this way, imprisoned for standing up for what he believed, persecuted, right? Wondering if Jesus really was the one. I mean, I'm sure as he sat in that prison cell, I'm sure he questioned, what in the world have I been doing for all these years? What's the point? What's the reason? Well, John could have stayed in that place pretty easily. He could have stayed with that mindset. But it's interesting that John does something different. John actually goes to the source, doesn't he? He doesn't speculate. He doesn't make assumptions. He does what he should do in times of trouble. Now, the Donovan family was in a bit of trouble too, rejected by their friends and their neighbors, wondering what to do, wondering if it was worth the cost, wondering if there could be a better way. And we have our doubts too, wondering if God will be there for us, wondering if his ways are always the best ways. And yet, it's in these times that we can go to God because our God comes to us. He comes to us revealing himself, assuring us that it's in this time of waiting, it's in this time of uncertainty, that it's a time to Roman numeral one, it's a time to trust. To trust that we're not alone. To trust that God is in control, to trust that our God is good and he is gracious to us, his people. As he assures us over and over and over again that we are loved, that we are loved by our Heavenly Father. As he assures us that we have a place in his family. As we have been called to a new and different way of life. Now, Frank needed some clarity in his life, and so do we. But that only comes as we point number one, as we get the right perspective. As we recognize the need in our lives, that we're not in control. That we don't have it all figured out. That in fact, you know, we are kind of the ones that mess things up time and time again. We need to get the right perspective as we recognize that we have our own blind spots. That we don't always and cannot always see the full picture. That oftentimes the focus is not on God, but the focus is on us. We need to get the right perspective as we see again our Savior who comes to us. A Savior in our midst, even when it seems like the world has fallen apart. Because He's the one who gives real life. He is the one who gives real hope. He is the one who gives to us real joy. And it can happen, it will happen for you and for me when we look, point number two, when we look to Jesus. For He is someone who we can trust. Look and see, He says. The blind, they receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. You see, it was Jesus who did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He's the one who took our sin, who died our death. He is the one who paid the ultimate sacrifice going to the cross. Despised, rejected, alone. Jesus knew. He knew persecution. And He was willing to give His all so that we could be people who begin to see in a whole new way as we recognize that now's the time to live. Now is the time, Roman numeral 2, to live. Now they simply call it holiday heart syndrome. What with all the fatty foods and the increase in sodium and the maybe the increase in the consumption of alcohol. The term has been coined by doctors to describe the increase of patients around the holiday season with AFib. Atrial fibrillation. You know, when the heart gets out of rhythm, kind of like my tongue there, just there. Right, there's an increase of that because of the diet and the lifestyle in the month of December. There's no doubt that life can break our hearts as we deal with pain and loss and uncertainty. And in some ways, we saw the Donovan family feeling that brokenness, right? As they began to experience what it means to count the cost of following Jesus. As their friends began to turn on them. But it's interesting, isn't it, that in their time of trouble, they actually begin to see. They begin to see real community. They begin to see real connection. They begin to see and experience real love. And so can we, as we see God in our midst. As we see God at work in our lives, as we experience the real life that God wants to give, as we discover, point number one, real contentment. Trusting in God's ways and not our way, not the ways of the world. Knowing that we're loved and belong, ready to give away what we have been given, as we learn to live a one-to-a kind of life, a one-to-another lifestyle, loving others, serving others, caring for others, grateful for all that we have been given, as we recognize that our God is a generous God who enables us to love generously as we experience point number two, real joy. A joy that's not based on the circumstances, but a joy that is based on God's promises that He is with us, that He has come to save us, and that one day we will see it all in fulfillment and in completion. In Jesus, you see, we can find our focus. Our God is with us. We can trust in Him. We can live as people of joy, even in the most difficult of times, as we're simply people who are following Jesus together. Amen. Now may God's peace and joy, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We will at this time gather up our offering. And as you're sitting there today, talk about one thing that you're joyful for today. What's something you're joyful for today?